Well, hey everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. And I just want to start out by thanking you for spending part of your day with us. And if you're blessed during our time together today, let me invite you to come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can worship with us live on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. Or if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, we would love to have you come and join us in person. But with that, let's get right into this episode's sermon. So let's start our time together today by talking about somebody that just about all of us have at least heard of before. And that's a man by the name of Martin Luther. But Martin Luther is like a lot of other people who are important in church history. Even though we know his name, we may not be exactly sure why it is that he's so important. So it's kind of like if you hear somebody talking about Augustine of Hippo, and you wonder if he was the star of some reality TV show like The Crocodile Hunter or Turtle Man, instead of realizing that St. Augustine of Hippo was one of the most influential theologians in the history of our faith, and that he helped shape the way that we think about everything from sin to grace to the doctrine of the Trinity. Or it'd be like if you heard somebody talking about John Bunyan, and then you expected them to talk about his Blue Ox Babe, instead of realizing that John Bunyan is the author of The Pilgrim's Progress, which not only helps us better understand our spiritual journey as followers of Jesus, but it's also reported to be the best-selling novel ever written, which means more people have read The Pilgrim's Progress than any of the Harry Potter books. But the problem that we have when it comes to Martin Luther isn't that we confuse him with reality TV stars or that we get him mixed up with fictional characters from American folklore. The problem that we have when it comes with Martin Luther is that it's easy to confuse him with the civil rights icon Martin Luther King Jr. But Martin Luther King Jr. became the face and the leader of the civil rights movement here in the United States in the 1950s, whereas Martin Luther made his contributions to church history back in Germany in the 1500s. You see, Martin Luther was born in 1483, and 18 years later, in 1501, Martin Luther did what most 18-year-olds today do. He went off to college, where he was going to initially study to become a lawyer. But a few years later, in 1505, Luther had an experience that changed the course of his life forever. In 1505, Luther was caught in the middle of an intense storm where he legitimately feared for his life, and he made a vow to God that if God saved him from this storm, that Luther would become a monk. And that's exactly what Martin Luther did. He became a monk. But when I tell you that Martin Luther became a monk, I don't mean that he became one of those stereotypical monks that we think of who goes on to live a quiet and contemplative life tucked away in a monastery somewhere far away from the rest of the world. Because Luther's life was really the complete opposite of that. Luther's life was a complete whirlwind of activities that ultimately led him to become one of the most important people, not just in church history, but in history, period. Because not long after Martin Luther became a monk, he continued on with the studies that he had already undertaken, and he earned his doctorate of theology degree. And with that degree, he was appointed to become a professor at Wittenberg University in Germany, where he was going to teach biblical studies. And as a professor of biblical studies, Luther spent a lot of time preparing lectures and studying scripture and reading other theologians so that he was able to impart as much knowledge and wisdom on his students as possible. But Luther's work as a professor was just the tip of the iceberg when it came to everything that he did. Because in addition to his work as a professor, Luther was also an avid writer and an avid translator. We know that Martin Luther wrote at least 2,300 different sermons, and he wrote more than 600 different lectures that we still have copies of today. In addition to that, as a translator, Luther became the very first person to ever translate the Bible into the German language. But all of his writings and translations weren't just intellectual exercises for Martin Luther. Most of his writings were also fierce and passionate and powerful calls for reform inside of the Catholic Church. And one of Luther's most famous writings fits right into that category, a passionate call for renewal and reform in the Catholic Church. His most well-known writing is probably the 95 Theses. And it's this writing, those 95 Theses,
made Luther quite possibly the most important person in church history in the last 1,000 years. Because in these 95 theses, Luther outlines 95 issues or problems that he has with what's been happening inside of the Catholic Church at that point in time. And the Catholic Church was pretty much the only church in the Western world during the 1500s. So Luther outlined these 95 issues that he had, but his two biggest complaints against the Catholic Church were, first, that the Catholic Church had come to rely too much on church tradition instead of recognizing that Scripture should be the ultimate authority for anyone who wants to follow Jesus. The second complaint that Luther had with the Catholic Church, big complaint that he had, was that they had engaged in some practices that were causing people to believe that they could either earn or even buy their way into heaven, instead of teaching that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. So Luther wrote down all 95 of these complaints, and then he took them and he nailed them to the doors of a church in Wittenberg, Germany, which basically acted as a community bulletin board at the time. And in doing this, what Luther was hoping was going to happen is that other people would come and they would read what he had written, and that it would inspire and spark a discussion and a debate that would lead to renewal inside of the church. It would make the Catholic Church better. But if you're familiar with Luther's story, you know that that's not exactly what happened. Because when he nailed those 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany, and people came along and they read what he had written, that didn't lead to debate and discussion that would better the church. Instead, the church leaders who came and read what Luther had written thought that Luther was flat out wrong. So just a few years after he wrote and published these 95 theses, Luther was called to what appears on paper to be the Diet of Worms. And no, that's not some really gross weight loss plan. Here the word diet, D-I-E-T, is actually pronounced diet. And what that means, the word diet literally means the appointed time. So the Diet of Worms was the appointed time where Luther was going to show up in a city in Germany called Worms, where he was going to be put on trial for heresy. And during that trial, Luther was found guilty of committing heresy inside of the church, and he was kicked out of the Catholic Church altogether. But Luther still didn't back off or back down from his beliefs. He continued to go out and to preach and to teach. And ultimately, Luther would be the driving force behind the Protestant Reformation. And in the Protestant Reformation, countless Christians all across the world would end up splintering off from the Catholic Church to start their own denominations. So we wouldn't be worshiping together today inside of a Baptist church if it wasn't, at least in part, for Martin Luther. But you may be wondering what any of this has to do with you. Now, maybe you're a history buff like I am, so all of this information about Martin Luther is fascinating for you. But if you're not into history, then you may have been bored to tears by hearing me spend the first few minutes of the sermon talking about Martin Luther. But one way or the other, it just doesn't seem like most of us have anything in common with this man. But even though it may not seem like we have much, if anything, in common with one of the most important and influential people in the last 1,000 years in our faith, that's not entirely the case. You see, Martin Luther struggled with a problem that all of us continue to wrestle with and struggle with today. Martin Luther struggled with the problem of chronic busyness. No matter how busy his life was, Luther always tried to cram a little bit more into it. And I can give you an example that shows you what I mean. So we've already talked about the fact that Martin Luther was a preacher and that he was a teacher. We talked about the fact that he was an avid writer and a translator, and that Luther put together just a ton of material. Luther's writings not only included the 95 theses, Luther also wrote around 40 different hymns. And all of those sermons and lectures that he wrote, we have enough of them to have literally put together a 55-volume set of his collective works. And that doesn't even scratch the surface of the work that Luther was doing when it came to the Protestant Reformation. So when you think about everything that he had going on in his life, when you think about the work that he was doing as a preacher and as a teacher, as a writer and as a reformer, you would look at Luther's life and you would think, he can't fit anything else into everything that he's already doing. but you'd be wrong. One example of this is in 1527, when the bubonic plague came to Wittenberg, Germany, Luther opened up the doors of his house to care for people who were infected with this disease. Now, this is the bubonic plague that we're talking about here. 7 out of every 10 people who contracted the bubonic plague died from it. But Martin Luther was willing to open the doors of his house to help take care of people who were sick in spite of everything else that he was doing and everything else that was happening in the world. So yeah, Martin Luther struggled with the problem of chronic busyness. Luther, no matter how busy his life was, he always tried to fit a little bit more into it. And a lot of us believe that we can do the exact same thing. A lot of us believe that no matter how full our lives may seem, that we can always fit more into them. We believe that no matter how full our lives may seem, we can always fit more into our lives. And the craziest thing of all might just be that we actually believe we can keep up with everything that we try to cram into our lives. So somewhere in the back of our minds, we think that when we agree to take on that really big project at work that's going to make us come to work early and to stay late, that we're still somehow going to manage to pick up our kids after school is finished. Or we think that if we let our kids sign up to join another sports team or another extracurricular activity, that we're still going to be able to sit down and have dinner together at the dining room table as a family 5 times a week. Or we convince ourselves that if we just sit down for a few minutes after our dinner wraps up and we pull out our laptop and we answer a couple of emails that are related to work, that we're still going to be able to enjoy some quality time with our family before the day is done. But that's not the way that it works. Whenever we start getting busy, whenever we start trying to cram more and more into our lives, something always goes on the back burner. And for a lot of us, when we get busy, we put God on the back burner in our lives. When we get busy, we put God on the back burner of our lives. And notice that I said we there because I do it too. When I get busy in my life, there are times my relationship with God starts to slip a little bit. And I know that that sounds a little weird to hear your pastor say, but it's also the truth. I'm not perfect. My relationship with God has faults and flaws just like everybody else's. And when we go through seasons in the church where I have to make a lot of hospital visits or officiate a lot of funerals, I don't spend as much time reading the Bible as I should. Or when we go through a busy season in the church like Christmas or Easter, or it feels like we have a special event or activity happening almost every single week, I don't spend as much time talking to God as I should. Or when I have a week where I really struggle to finish working on writing whatever sermon it is that I've been working on, when we come together for worship, I'm thinking about the words that I need to say when I'm going to preach the sermon instead of focusing in on being in God's presence and worshiping God. So yeah, when my life gets busy, there are times when God falls onto the back burner. And it happens in your life too. It happens in your life too. When you're out all day at the soccer fields on a Saturday watching your kids or grandkids kick the ball around, it's easy to put God on the back burner and skip church the next day. It happens to us. When you don't have enough time in your life to open up and start reading the latest Colleen Hoover or John Grisham book, it's easy to put God on the back burner and leave your Bible sitting up on a bookshelf too. It happens. When you don't feel like you have enough time to really sit down and talk with your spouse at the end of the day, it's easy to put God on the back burner and stop talking to God too. It happens. When we get busy, sometimes we put God on the back burner in our lives. And this is where we can all learn something from Martin Luther. Because incredibly enough, no matter how busy he got in his life, Martin Luther always seemed to make time for God. One of his most famous and well-known quotes is actually, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." Now, that's not the way that most of us act. When we get busy, we're trying to figure out things that we can clear off of our calendar, not add into them. But when Luther looked at his life, One point he said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. But how did he do it? How was Martin Luther always able to seemingly make time for God in his life no matter how busy he became? Well, I think we can find an answer to that question by taking a closer look at one of Martin Luther's favorite passages of Scripture. So if you've got a Bible close by or a Bible on your Bible app on your phone, I'd encourage you to go ahead and open it up to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And as you're finding it, I just want to tell you a little bit more about the book of Psalms. Now, the book of Psalms is basically a hymnal for the people of ancient Israel. It's a book that was filled with songs and poetry that they used when they came together to worship God. And just like a lot of us have our favorite hymns that we sang, you may have even got to sing one of them this morning in church. Like a lot of us have our favorite hymns, people have long had their favorite psalms as well. And there is little doubt about the fact that Martin Luther's favorite psalm was Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is a psalm that he uses for the basis of Luther's most well-known hymn that he ever wrote, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. But what is it about Psalm 46 that helped Luther always make time for God no matter how busy he got? Well, let's take a look at this psalm together, and let's see what it says. Psalm 46, we're going to start reading in verse 1. Here's what it says. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its water roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Now, in these verses that we just read from Psalm 46, what these verses do for us is they remind us of who God is. When we read these verses, we're reminded that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in them. But we're not just reminded that our God is a great God who created it all. These verses also remind us that our God is a God who cares for us. Our God is a God who walks beside us. These verses describe God as being our refuge. They tell us God is our strength. They tell us that God is present with us whenever we face times of trouble. These verses tell us that God is with us. But the problem that we have is that sometimes we forget who God is. Sometimes we forget who God is. And when we start to forget who God is, makes it really easy to put God on the back burner in our lives. When we forget how big, how important, how vast, how great, how powerful our God is, it's easy to let other things become a priority in our lives. So, if we want to make time for God, no matter how busy it is that we get, we have to remember who God is. We have to remember that God is the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, including us. And that God also wants to have a relationship with us. And when we remember who God is, it helps us better understand the next verse that we read in Psalm 46. In Psalm 46, verse 10, we're told this: be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. When we realize who God is, when we remember who God is, when we remember that God is this great and powerful God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, including us, and that God loves us and cares about us and wants to have a relationship with us, our natural reaction should be to be still, simply because we know who God is. When we remember who God is, our natural reaction should be to slow down, to not worry about what we've got sitting on our calendars, to simply spend time in the presence of God. And this actually fits right in with some advice that Luther once gave his barber of all people. In about 1527, when Luther went in, I guess, to get one of those famous monk haircuts, you know, the ones where like the top part gets shaved out in the middle. Don't know why that was ever style, but you know, whatever. But at some point when Luther went in to get one of those haircuts, I guess, his barber, a guy named Peter Beckensdorf, asked him for some advice when it came to prayer. And Luther, in true Luther fashion, decided that he was going to write about it instead of just answering the guy's question. So Luther wrote an open letter that he entitled A Simple Way to Pray. And in this letter, Luther wrote, "It is of great importance that the heart be made ready and eager for prayer. What else is it but tempting God when your mouth babbles and the mind wanders to other thoughts?" Let me read that again. "It is of great importance that the heart be made ready and eager for prayer. What else is it but tempting God when your mouth babbles and your mind wanders to other thoughts?" And then after he says this, Luther gives a great example of a priest saying a prayer while his mind is wandering the whole time. And I went ahead and translated the Latin for you because I can't speak Latin either. But this is what Luther says inside of his prayer. He writes this. He says, priest says, "God be my helper, but farmhand, did you unhitch the horses? Lord, make haste to help me, but maid, did you go out and milk the cow? Glory to God the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, but hurry up, boy. I wish the malaria would take you." And then Luther goes on to offer the simple but priceless advice. He says, "So a good and attentive barber keeps his thoughts and his attention and his eyes on the razor and the hair, and he doesn't forget how far he has gotten when he is shaving or cutting. If he wants to engage too much in conversation or work, or he lets his mind wander, or somehow somewhere else, he is likely to cut his customer's mouth, nose, or even his throat. Thus, if any of us is to do well in our prayers, it requires the full attention of all of our senses and all of our members. For as the proverb says, he who thinks of many things thinks of nothing and does nothing right. How much more does prayer call for our concentration and the singleness of our heart if it is to be a good prayer?" So what Luther is telling us here is, if you want to make time for God, you have to make God your focus. Because if you allow your mind to wander when you're trying to spend time with God, it's every bit as dangerous as a barber who's not paying attention while he's shaving your face with a straight razor, or he could cut your mouth, your nose, or even your throat. So if we want to make sure that God doesn't end up on the back burners in our lives when our lives start to feel too busy or when we're feeling overbooked, there's a lot that we can learn from Psalm 46 and from Martin Luther. Because the biggest thing that we have to remember to make God a priority in our lives, no matter what else is happening, is we need to remember who God is. We can't lose sight of who God is in all of the chaos and busyness that happens in our lives. And when we remember who God is, we're naturally going to want to just slow down just a little bit, to live in that moment instead of worrying about the next appointment we have on our calendars, and to be in God's presence. So in the midst of all of the chaos and all of the commotion that can fill your life sometimes, don't lose sight of who God is. Remember, God made you, God loves you. God is with you. God wants you to spend time with him too. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this word of prayer, we thank you for the reminder that we hear in Psalm 46 of who you are. God, you are the great God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. You're also a God who loves and cares for each and every one of us. God, not only did you place every star in the sky, you placed every hair on our heads because you love us that much. So God, in the midst of all of the hustle and bustle, all of the chaos and commotion, all of the events and activities that fill our lives, help us to remember who you are, to remember how great you are and how much you care for all of us. Because sadly, God, there are times when in the midst of everything we have going on, that we let you slip onto the back burner. That we don't make you the priority that you should always be. So remind us of who you are. Let us not lose focus on you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast, and I hope that you've been blessed during our time together. And if that's happened, once again, I want to invite you to come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can do that by joining us on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live, or if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, you can also worship with us in person. And that's going to do it for this episode of our sermon podcast, but I want to invite you to come back and join us again when our next episode drops next week. But until then, I'll be praying for you. I hope that you have a great week, and we'll see you back here soon for another Sermon Podcast.